Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Let's start with verse 10. When the apostles returned from their ministry journey that Jesus sent them out on, they reported to Jesus what had happened, what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Jesus, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages, countryside, and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place." So they learned about him. They continued to move along. The crowds found out about it. They followed him out to a remote place. We know that on a variety of occasions, Jesus spoke on the hillside. It was a remote place, as he also spoke at the synagogues and in towns. But here they traveled out, and the people kept following them, and they're in this remote place. And the disciples say, "You know what? It's great. We've been out here together, but it's late afternoon, and these people got to walk back somewhere for the night." And they were concerned about the people, which is great. They had compassion on the people. They were concerned about their practical needs, not just their spiritual needs, and very Christ-like. And so they tell Jesus, "You know, you should probably let them go, because they're going to get hungry. They're going to need a place to stay." And Jesus responds in verse 13. He says, "Why don't you go ahead and give them something to eat?" They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," because there was about 5,000 men there, not counting women and children. And he said to his disciples, "Well, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. They picked up more scraps than what they started with. I want us to look at this a little bit this morning, and this is probably not a strange passage to you. You've probably read this before or heard it, you know, talked about or preached, where Jesus feeds crowds of people. One occasion 5,000, another occasion 4,000. I want us to look at a couple of things that may just pertain to us, that we can make this personal for us. And I want you to keep in mind as we look through this, is that he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it. He gave thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it away. I want us to look this morning at some of those principles for our own life. Jesus wants us to offer something. Now, as Christians, we like the message of mercy and grace. We like the message of being recipients. Because, let's face it, we like to be blessed. And that's not a wrong thing. But Jesus, on many occasions, teaches this principle in different ways. That which God has done for us, we in turn do for other people. It's how we treat other people, how he treats us. If he grants us forgiveness and gives us forgiveness, we are supposed to forgive those who've offended and hurt us. He says that. He says, "Hey, if I've forgiven you, you in turn forgive others." If I have blessed you, you in turn go and bless others. And so here is this passage, and it's a call to those who believe in Christ. Here's the call. Go and do likewise, like Jesus. Jesus stands there, and he looks at a crowd of 5,000 plus mouths to feed. And he asked the disciples, why don't you give them food? Jesus, we've been around you. We know that, you know, you speak words of wisdom and you have insight into people's lives. But let us just share with you a little bit of something that's practical. You want us to feed 5,000 plus people. We have two fish and five loaves of bread. And understand, this is not one of those 12-foot sub loaves you get from Subway where it takes four guys to put it on their shoulder and walk into a room. That is not how they walked around the countryside. And even then, five of those is not going to feed 5,000-plus people. Understand that when God calls us to offer something, to give something, because he has given so much to us, he has blessed us. And I'm not talking about just the prosperity in financial and material resources. But he has blessed us in every fashion. And now here is this opportunity where people have need. And he says, you feed them. And we know, the disciples know, what they have to offer cannot physically meet the demand. We have five loaves. Two fish, Jesus, that will not feed 5,000 men, plus wives and children, not to mention all the teenage boys. I know what they consume. I know what it costs. Roughly. Sue knows what it costs. She does the groceries. And when she goes out of town, I do the groceries. McDonald's, Pizza Hut. Although, she does things in advance. My wife is so thoughtful and put together around the house. I'm telling you, she'll know she's going away for a day and a half. She will pre-make meals and have them so, you know, me, I can cook. Which means it's pre-made, it's in a pan, glassware, whatever, covered in tinfoil, with a post-it note, preheat oven. The button on the oven is this color. Push it. Turn the dial to this number. Set the timer on. You push the little arrow up to 25 minutes. When it beeps, take it out. You're blessed, your wife. That kind of thing. She doesn't really write that on there, but I am. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's kind of how it goes. And so I'm grateful, but you know what it costs. And so here they are in a remote place, where it's going to be a bit of a walk to get to a restaurant or to get home. And the disciples are concerned, and Jesus says, feed them. Now, Jesus knows that his disciples do not have enough to do it. Just like he knows that you and I do not always have the resource, whether it's time, it's money, material, whatever it is, he knows that we do not always have enough resource within us to just solve or meet the need or to perform the task. It is too great. It is too grand. It's too big. It's too much. But he still says to them, offer what you have. Because God, as always, does the increase. It's the same principle. Some water, some plant, some do this, some do that, some reap, some sow. But God is the one who gives the increase. It's not us. We're just called to the responsibility to have faith and to offer what we have. Give what we have. Let God do the rest. You see, we like to look at if what I give, what is the result? It's kind of like the parallel of, you know, CDs. Okay? Certificate of deposit. If I give $2,000 and let you take it for 6 months, what's the interest rate and what do I get back? That is not how it works with God. We give, we offer. It's about obedience. It's about Christ-likeness. Let God worry about the results. How about that? How about we let God do what God needs to be concerned about, and we just do what He calls us to do? To offer something. And sometimes it involves, get this, sometimes it involves sacrifice. And sometimes it involves brokenness. Some of us in this place, we feel like we don't have very much to offer. Well, you know what? Whether you feel like you have a lot to offer or not, offer what you have. Offer what you have. Do what you can do. Right? Because it's about God giving the increase. I've watched time and time again in different scenarios, just like you've seen. Somebody who just humbly, they offer something. And watch God do a great thing. A marvelous thing. A life-changing thing for other people. And they didn't walk away and say, okay, I did it, so where's mine? Where's mine? It's not why we give. It's not why we offer. We do it because we love Him. We love Him. That's the motive for giving. It's the motive for offering what we have. It's because we love Him. It is a debt of love. Not a, I'll do this so you can do that. The disciples learned something great that day. 5 loaves, 2 fish. We're supposed to set it out before the people. I mean, you got to... You know, I don't want to add anything to God's word. I don't want to commit that sin before Him or before you. I don't want to stand under that kind of judgment. But, you know, I know me. And if I was one of those guys and I had one of those baskets and I'm looking at the people, and I'm looking at what's in the basket. Just my basket. I'd look down the line of my brother disciples a little bit and go, hey, Peter, if you're hungry, you should take some now. Because there ain't going to be nothing left after row 2. I mean, I'm doing what Jesus says because he's running the show. But in here and in here, it's not adding up. Dude, this was our lunch. I mean, if they followed him out here, don't you think they'd have brought their own? I mean, this was our picnic. We were going to eat and then play bocce ball. We didn't eat yesterday. We just walked through that field and he went like this with the wheat and we, that was it. And now the fish. The bread, man. I love bread. We look at what we have and we look at the demand before us. We're looking at our lunch. It's good to recognize what we have to offer, and it's good to recognize the need. But in the middle of it, we have got to also look at him. If we just look at what we have and we look at the need, it will never match. It will never make sense. But when we put Jesus into the equation, let the need be as great as it is. As long as I participate and I offer something, I offer, I do my part. And it might involve sacrifice, like this was my lunch. You know, I'm looking around this room, and I'll go out on a limb a little bit. Okay, I'm going out on a limb just a little bit. I'm going to be a little judgmental. I'm just telling you beforehand, so just hang out of the pew in front of you. Okay? You don't have to run out. I'm just telling you in advance. Okay? So you don't have to come up to me afterwards and say, you know, that was pretty judgmental for a preacher. Just save the trip. I already told you. I don't think too many of us have missed a meal. In a while. And if we missed one, I don't think we're going to shrivel up and, you know, die. I know me. I know what's under this jacket. And I'm leaving it on this morning. And if you notice, the little fine stripes in my suit, they go vertical. Because if you're sitting way in back, and I'm way up here, and the lines go vertical, and the suit is black, it makes me look taller. Or thinner. This isn't just about food. Jesus is sharing a principle with his disciples. And if we are disciples in this room, then let us hear part of this message that he's teaching them. That you know what? It's time for us to offer. It's time for us to give. And maybe it's time. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's some other resource we have. Where we take from what our plans were, and instead we take out of that plan and we offer it to someone else. Or to God's instruction. Or he says to us, hey! You feed them. You give to them. Yeah, but I can't do the whole thing. I'm not asking you to do the whole thing. I'm asking you to do something. Whether it's serve somebody, help somebody, volunteer, give, offer, do something. And I'll tell you this, a real offering, a real giving, I'll let you know when you really know it's an offering, because it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Giving is easy for a generous heart. Giving is easy if it doesn't hurt. A generous person knows how to give and smile even when it hurts. They know how to do it. At that point, their generosity is not budgeted. Offer it. Listen, when they left to go to this place and had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that was their budget for them to eat. The need took them outside of their budget. And I'm not talking about it put them in debt. I'm talking about they gave what they had. They gave of something. They did their part. God did the increase. God did the rest. All I know is the need was met, because it says that the people all left happy, satisfied, fulfilled. God can do that. Only God can do that. I want you to know that giving costs. And sometimes in the midst of your giving, there's brokenness. Because you know what? You gave and it hurt. And it's not out of self-righteousness. It's not out of nobility. It's not like, I did it, so where's mine? Listen, we gave because we love Him, and we gave because we knew it was right. We didn't give out of presumption. We give based on faith. If we give on presumption, I want you to know that you can't use that in your resume when you promote yourself to God. You give based on faith. And when you do that, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Because you're not busy looking at your resume. You're busy and you're occupied with what is God doing and where am I going and how do I give and what is my part. You'll see this from time to time. I'll use this for an example. The youth are going away on a retreat or something, and we say, you know what? If you can help scholarship a teenager to go, boy, that'd be great. And we see people come up and write a scholarship, say, how much is the whole thing? And they'll write a check or whatever. That's great. But you know what? From time to time, you see somebody say, no, I can't do the whole thing. But here's 20 bucks. I know it costs 115, but here's 20. And they just do their part. Man, can you imagine if we all just did that? If somebody else walked up and said, you know what, I can't do the whole thing, but here's 10 bucks. Somebody else walks up and says, you know what, I can't do the whole thing, but here's 50 bucks. And all of a sudden, all these nickels and dimes and dollars, before you know it, you're sending 3 students. You're sending 3 students to go to a retreat or a camp or a child or a kid or another couple to go to a couple's retreat. Whatever it is, whatever the scenario, it doesn't matter. It's that we offered something. It's not about, you know, doing the whole thing. It's offering what you have. The need is greater. I don't have 115 to send them, but I got 20. Well, 20 ain't going to get them there, we think in our minds, so why give the 20? Man, the disciples, they said, listen, Jesus, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not going to do it. We're not giving it to them. This will be embarrassing. We can't solve the whole thing. We can't do it all. No, they offered what they had, and they watched God give the increase and God supply, and people left satisfied, and they got to hear Jesus talk. They got to see Jesus minister. They got to see that the baskets were set before them, and as they came up and took fish and they took bread and walked back, and that others came up, that somehow the basket was full because there were some obedient boys that did what Jesus said. And because they were obedient, God blessed, God performed the miracle, because there were some boys who were obedient and took some steps of faith, regardless if they're whispering down the line going, get yours now. If we feel too small to do the job that meets the demand, offer it. Give it. Whether it's for your neighbor, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, whether it's a friend, you just give it. No strings attached. No strings attached. It's that we gave because as I do it for you, I'm doing it unto Him. Doing it unto Him. And He can keep the ledger and He can keep the books. That's not my job. It's not my job to count how many good things I do or how much I give. That's God. He can keep the books. I'm just supposed to give and offer. I'm supposed to sacrifice out of obedience. That's what we're called to do. I mean, Jesus is the head of the church and we're His body. We're supposed to let Him call the shots and we do what He thinks. We do what He says. We do what He wills. We do as He led, as He lived. That's what we're called to do. Well, that's a big task. That's a big order. That can be overwhelming. But if I would just not, you know, look at, oh my goodness, that's huge, it's massive, I can't do it. I need to look at this moment right now, what am I supposed to be offering? What am I supposed to be giving? What am I supposed to be sacrificing? What is He calling me to do? He's calling you to just simply be a part of something that's bigger than just your life. He is calling us to be a part of something bigger than just our own decision, our own will, our own life, our own comfort. He's calling us to something bigger and grander than that. He's calling you. Your name's on the letter. And He hands it to us. He's calling you to be a part of something. And to be a part of it, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to give something. You're going to have to sacrifice something. You're going to have to put something aside. You're going to have to create room. You're going to have to skip something else so you can do something else. How do you think the disciples felt before Jesus told them to feed them and they realized the need and they had 5 loaves and 2 fish? How do you think they felt at that moment in comparison to how they felt after everyone was satisfied and they had more in scraps than they started with? How do you think they felt then? I know how I would have felt. Okay, boys, go collect the baskets. Oops. Hey, was I stupid? Sure glad we gave the bread and the fish. Dude, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Sorry, Jesus. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Let's do it again. Hey, Jesus, we got more scraps than we started with. Tell them to go back and get more villages. Let's do it again. This was great. This was fun. Come on, bring back people. Don't leave. Call them. Use my cell phone. Here, it's in my tunic. Bring more people. Jesus, this was so fun. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Come on, Jesus. I don't care. Can I give away supper? You give $10 to help scholarship a kid, and it wasn't the full amount, it's just what you could give. And then they come up and they testify, and their friend got saved, and you go, come on, do another retreat. Do another retreat, because I can give 15. I can give 15 this time. I can give 50. Come on, do it again. Do it again. Come on, do it again. That's how people feel when they do something on faith and they live beyond their own life. That's what we're called to. These are things about eternity. It's about eternity. It's about eternity. What are you going to offer? What are we going to do? What are we going to sacrifice? And you know what? It hurts, and we can be broken. Hey, I know what it is to offer time and to offer effort and to offer sweat, just like you do. I know what it is to offer those things and labor and do it and watch people be ungrateful and, you know, somebody hurts you and somebody discourages you along the way and somebody doesn't understand what you're doing and they badmouth you or misrepresent you. I know all about that stuff. In the middle of it, you're saying, God, I'm just trying to do what you call me to do and all this stuff's going on and it hurts me and, it's costing me. Yeah? Uh-huh. Right. But it's not about their voices. It's not about the stones they throw. It's not about the piercing of the spear they throw. This is about, I'm doing this for you anyhow. And if it involves brokenness and misunderstanding and criticism that is unjustified because you called me, because I took a step and said I'm going to live beyond my own little world, my own little four walls, and long as my family's safe, and because God called me to take care of my family first, and yeah, it's going to cost you. And in the middle of doing these things right, there might be some brokenness along the way. You have to remember what Jesus offered. Himself. In the middle of his giving and his sacrifice, his own disciples left him. And it wasn't something that Jesus just conjured up to do. It wasn't like, hey, that's it. I'm just going to go sacrifice. His Father sent him, called him, and pointed him to sacrifice. This isn't about, well, I got to go sacrifice something just to go sacrifice something. Listen, that is not what God's Word says. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I can afford to give you $5. I'll give you $5. And I'm telling you, the $5, depends on your attitude. If we say things like, oh, I can afford $5, there's no faith in that. There is no faith in that. If you can afford $5, you give it, not just because you can afford it, give it because you believe. Because you're giving unto Him. If you can't afford to give and you do it anyhow, and you think that's going to win you some type of nobility with God, that's not the case either. It must be given upon faith, not under impulse, but upon faith. I've watched Christians give and sacrifice when God didn't call them or direct them to do it, and then they blame God for the situation they're in. That's not how it works either. We're supposed to obey. And where you know to do good, do it. And maybe it's not money you can give, but maybe it's 45 minutes on prayer you can give. Maybe it's not money you can give, but it's a pie you can give, and a note you can give, and some words of faith and encouragement that you can give. Maybe it's not money you can give, but you can show up with your tool belt. Say, I'm here to give you a hand for 3 hours. Second Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. I'm not going to turn there. You can if you want. Listen to this. There is a plague that is sitting on God's people. A plague. A judgment because of disobedience. And David responds to the direction that is given through a man by the Lord to go and make a sacrifice. And he shows up at this man's residence, and the man comes running out and bows down before King David. And he says, why should the king come blessed? I should be so blessed that the king should come to me today. What is it you need? All that I have is yours. He says, I want to buy your threshing floor, and I want to make some sacrifices unto God. That's what I'm supposed to do. And the man says, here's the threshing floor, the land for it, the threshing floor itself. Here are the oxen. And take their plowing equipment, their wooden yokes, and use it for fire to begin to build a fire for the sacrifice. Take all that I have, it's yours. And David says, listen to me. How can I give to the Lord that which costs me nothing? I insist that I pay you for all of it. And David paid the man. How can I give to the Lord that which costs me nothing? When He has loved me and taken care of me and blessed me. And it doesn't mean that everything's perfect in my life. It doesn't mean that there's unlimited resources that seem to be practical for me. It just means that He has blessed me and I am going to love Him and I am going to be faithful. I'm going to do my part and I will give to Him and I know that it will cost me and sometimes it stings more than other times, but it's based upon faith and so we give. We offer. How can we give it to Him when it costs us nothing? What kind of offering is that? He gave me everything. I can do nothing without Him. How's that? You can't do anything without Him. The breath you have, He gave to you. If He snatched it away, where would you be? Think you can live without Him? Think you can do stuff without Him? Who gave you the ability to walk? Who gave you the ability to create wealth? Where do you think your smarts and your wisdom come from? You can't do anything. I can't do anything without Him. So David was obedient. It would have been easy to say, you know what, God bless you, the blessing be yours, great. We'll take the oxen and we'll take the threshing floor and burn the yoke and just say, thanks a lot. And he offers it to God. David knew, how can I offer to God something that costs me nothing? He paid for it. And when the sacrifice was done, the plague left town. You want some of your plagues to leave town? You want some of your plagues to leave your home? You want some of the plagues to leave your life? Here it is. Obey Him. Obey Him! in heart, and in deed, and in faith, obey him. Obey him. For some, it's not outward actions. It's rid yourself of your attitude. Rid yourself of the internal hellfire that burns and the corruption in here. Watch the plagues leave. Yeah. Because you do it in faith unto him. You do it in obedience unto him. That's what you do. Now, granted, you don't come before him and say, listen, I've been obeying you, so you know what? This has got to leave my life. Oh, no. You offer unto him because you love him. You honor him. You know that he's sovereign. And let him keep the ledgers. Let him keep the books. Let him keep the giving and the going, the coming and the leaving of blessing. That's his business. It's his business. And may he be gracious unto us and merciful unto us where we have sinned, where we have disobeyed him, where we have tried to justify the stuff that lurks in us as if it's acceptable, as if he agrees with us on our outlook or our judgment. He is calling you to something way bigger than yourself. The reality of the context of this passage, if you want to know the truth, we use things out of the passage that are true and they're right. They're not wrong teaching. But you want to know the real context of the passage? The real context of the passage is this. That Jesus was foretelling, beginning to foretell and lay out the plan to build off of about his crucifixion. Because he was going to offer himself. How can one man remove the curse of sin, not just for a land or a group of people, and not just the people living in the day, but all the people of all time to come? The need's too great. But Jesus offered all that he was, is, to remove the plague of sin that every person could be satisfied. Yeah. One man who daily laid down his life and didn't give way to sin, so when the moment of truth came, he could die in perfection to redeem all humanity, to offer what he had, to sacrifice what he had. It was the Father's plan, and Jesus obeyed. And guess what? I received the blessing. And as he has blessed me, I in turn should bless others.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.